All right, we're going to come out and say it. Google Ads support sucks. We all know it. What can be done? We're talking to Greg Finn from Cypress North and Marketing O'Clock today on The Edge. Go!
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is Greg Finn, Chief Marketing Officer of Cypress North. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
Welcome back to The Edge. This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm the producer and occasional co-host, Jacob Mann, filling in for Aaron this week while he is on vacation. But don't worry, he recorded this week's episode with Greg Finn before leaving the studio. Every week, we bring you some amazing guests to chat about digital marketing tactics. We unpack a key marketing topic for our digital marketing audience, you. Whether you're part of an agency or a freelancer or part of a firm that has a marketing department, this show is for you. Check out all of our recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Our title sponsor for this interview series is Site Strategics. We are pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are SEO, search engine marketing, social media, and focus on conversion rate optimization to help you improve your leads month over month. Results-based marketing that actually works. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a call at 877-SEO-4WEB or 877-736-4932. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we have Brody Clark, then Arij Abu Ali. You won't want to miss these shows. Also, be sure to check out the recent shows where we talked to Chris Long, Kevin Indig, and Cyrus Shepard. If you are interested in being part of the show, just drop us a line over at info@edgeofthewebradio.com. Check us out on YouTube as well. Set your reminders to get notified when we drop some of our shorts from our interview series. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think about our recent shows or even this show in particular by going over to ratethispodcast.com/edge. This helps us get in front of new listeners looking for our type of show. Finally, don't forget to listen to our weekly news podcast covering the most recent digital marketing news and Google updates, released on or around Tuesday wherever you get your podcast, and also on YouTube. Continued co-host of that show is Mr. Mute Button himself, Morty Oberstein. All right, that's housekeeping for this week. Let's turn around and meet this week's industry expert guest.
If you don't know who Greg Finn is, let me tell you who he is. He's a partner over at Cypress North, a performance digital marketing and development firm in Buffalo, New York. He's a certified Google AdWords partner. Greg's a correspondent with SearchEngineLand.com. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. He's been on Search Marketing Expo programming team, helping to build content around digital advertising. He's also the co-host of Marketing O'Clock podcast. And he's been in the digital marketing industry for close to over 20 years now. He's had some great shows on his podcast, like Inside Barry Swartz, conversation that he just recently had. Another show, Looker. I barely knew her. Data Studio is now Looker Studio. That's fantastic. And Video Killed the Instagram Star. Some great shows. Go check that out over Marketing O'Clock. You'll be able to find him everywhere. But here's what I want you to know about Greg. He started this podcast in 2018. He's got 256 episodes so far at the time of this recording. They're dropping news all the time, each and every week. Greg, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. It is a pleasure to be back. It just feels so homey here. I love it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I think it's the third, fourth time you've been on the show. We really do need to make a seat for you here. You know, who knows? Who knows if Morty gets kind of out of whack, you know, if he loses it. He's been known too, right? I mean, there may be a seat for you over here. What do you think about that, Greg?
Well, I mean, he can hit all those SEO rants probably a little better than me, but anything you want, PPC rant, call me up. I'm here and I'll just go.
Very good. Well, jumping into it, man, we certainly appreciate you coming on board. I wanted to reach out and talk a little bit about a couple really important topics here. We don't cover paid advertising nearly enough on this show, and we do appreciate you coming on board. You were on episode 514 just recently, as well as back in 358, the show was covered. You actually covered Google's ups and downs. We talked about algorithm. We talked about a lot of different things. Had a good time on the show, but I want to take a moment and recognize you. I'm getting overclimbed.
It happens a lot when people are around me. Don't worry about that, Aaron.
Greg has been contributing to Search Engine Land for over 13 years. I actually was going back through your articles, Greg, and your first one published that we can see was in 2009.
Okay. Yep. That sounds about right. Yeah. I took over a column and then the rest is history. So had a little break in between there and back, but it's great.
That is officially a crap ton. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, there's no Barry Schwartz. Nothing is a crap ton anymore when you have to compare anything against Barry Schwartz. It's absolutely just not fair.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in the 30,000 article range, but he also writes, you know, he'll squeak in a paragraph, right? And that's an article. No offense, Barry.
Like 600 or so.
Well, that's, you know, where were we in digital advertising in 2009? Can you reflect back in any way, think about what we were dealing with? It was like first gen of Google Ads back then, right?
Yeah, I mean, it may be like second-ish gen, but it was a much better place, at least from a kind of a more focused ability.
Right.
But obviously, we have far greater capacity now. So, like, I think, you know, traditionalists would say that it was a lot easier in 2009. Mm-hmm. But today, there are just so many different options that, you know, it's different. It's really apples to oranges. And, you know, for all the great things that have happened, there have been things that have been frustrating, too. You know, to be candid, that have arisen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, just think about what you've seen over the years here. Something to just consider, all the different changes, and on top of the lot of platforms that are no longer with us anymore. It's very interesting. In the just in the ad space alone, there's been so many changes. And you're right. We've got so many ways to be able to get to the user. And on top of that, we're going to be coming close to not being able to meet the user where we used to with the removal of third-party cookies and the like. So that's on the horizon as well. So the game's going to change completely here. But thank you for contributing as much as you have to this industry for so long. It's really mind-numbing. It really is.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Just keep going. Keep chugging along.
And, yeah. You got to. You know.
Hopefully, well, helping people out.
We're recording at the end of 2022, and I wanted to get your take on some of the major paid advertising news for the year. I mean, there's a lot, but I wanted to get your take on a few just to kind of have a retrospective back, as this show is going to be in 2023, but I still want to have some key observations as we're looking at 2023. So, privacy tightening on all platforms and the reduction of targeting, like I'm saying. What have you seen already this year that is giving us a perspective of what's to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you're talking about like what was happening in 2009, where it was sort of like the wild, wild west, and you'd see some of those examples where there would be somebody out there and you could target down to like an individual person. I remember a story of somebody that targeted an ad to their girlfriend at the time proposing to become their wife, something like that. So you used to be able to target like way down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously there's lots of privacy concerns with that. And I think that, you know, it's the pendulum has really swung in the opposite direction on that, especially when you look at something like, you know, what made us taken away with a lot of the different targeting types, a lot of that, which is a good thing, you know, where people were kind of misusing or trying to avoid specific folks. So I think a lot of that is becoming less pinpoint precision. But to combat that, you know, to be fair, the machine learning and AI has also picked up a lot. So, you know, where, for example, in the past, if it were 2009, let's say even say 2018, we would never be saying like with Google Ads, go out there and use these broad match terms and match under the sun.
Right.
Now, if you do that and you have smart bidding on and you can say, I would like an acquisition cost at X, that can actually do really well. And it does really well. People don't believe me, but it does really well, even for like B2B clients. So I think it's not getting too caught up in some of these elements going away and more just putting it on yourself and saying like, all right, that's not here anymore. How can I still work around it? You know? And so we've seen, you know, more and more like similar audiences are going away. Some YouTube targeting where we're going and their placements is going away. All right, well, it's still going to be on you. Everybody's got this solution, you know, tucking away in the back of your head. And like, how can we still move?
And you can rely on the fact that these platforms are in it to make money at the same time. So they're going to be innovative on how what tools they create for you as an advertiser to be able to reach that audience. Privacy is an incredible concern, and there's public perspective that has to be moved closer to control that the citizen can have, or the digital citizen. But at the same time, you know that you're still going to have a good bandolier of tools and techniques, right?
I say I partially agree. Everybody okay. wants all those dollars. You know, I think one thing that I've noticed a bit, especially here, mm-hmm. you know, in looking back on 2022, you really see a lot of people talking about just like these very specific, like quarterly OKRs or what you're kind of going for that quarter and mm-hmm. what you need to hit. And that's, I know, a big Google thing. But a lot of times I feel like the best interest isn't really specifically there for the advertiser. It's more so, all right, how do we get more money? You know, and I don't think any of these platforms would say that specifically. But for example, you know, Microsoft got rid of the ability to remove their audience network. So anytime you're running a search campaign, and that happened about mid-2020, I don't know the exact date, maybe even Q3 2020, mm-hmm. you're now running on the display network as well. A lot of people don't know that, and you can't opt out of it. So it's like, some of these changes, I think, are definitely there for the better. Like, for example, to give a positive instead of just negatives.
Sure, sure, sure.
A lot of people think that is all I do, and I don't.
We got a segment for that coming up. So let's be positive right now.
I think like custom audiences that you can build in like Google Ads is really nice. You can say, what have people searched for in the past? What sites have they been on? How can you make these audiences? So there's a lot of different things that you can still do to kind of make those cohorts in a way, or build those audiences, those personas. But definitely, there's a lot of things I think that people are doing, even performance max, some of that where you have like basically no control, you sort of give it up to the algorithms. I think it is a little bit of a short-term play of how can we get more money for these ad platforms.
Right. Some additional news that came through in 2020, Cyber Monday was actually up 12% year over year. That's a huge explosion of new revenue. Digital marketing during a recession was happening here, and hopefully by this time next year, we're out of whatever funk we're in. Have you seen changes with your clients and the manner in which they're actually wanting to advertise during this period of time?
Yeah, I mean, so we have kind of a full gamut. We have some e-com. We also have a lot of kind of like demand gen, B2B.
Got it.
Really tricky stuff like software as a service. You know, our e-commerce stuff, it definitely was a lot more, I'd say, crowded. Mm-hmm. One other thing, though, a lot of these platforms have really been leaning into that shopping experience. Like, if you look at the Google Marketing Live announcements, I'd say probably 40% of the major announcements are shopping related.
Yeah.
Like everything is going towards shopping in that way. So I think that part makes sense. And then knowing that, you know, kind of Q4 was a little softer in 2022, we didn't see any slowdown with like kind of that traditional enterprise B2B demand gen whatsoever.
That's cool.
You know, and previous slowdowns too, even kind of, you know, before when everything hit in 2020, that was one of the things where if you're really tracking your results and doing performance
right.
and have good metrics, like that kind of always stuck around, which is nice.
It did. And it was really surprising that there was a huge new, it was understandable, but it was actually atypical that businesses really did invest largely. They weren't gun shy anymore of digital advertising. And that was really the only game that we could move them in front of, so to speak. And, you know, industry embraced that. But on top of that, even just last year, cost per lead, another article over at Search Engine Land, was up 91% of industries. That's huge. That 91% of the industries reporting, literally their cost per lead was higher than ever before. That's tough. That's a tough pill. And on top of that, we're also seeing the cost per lead going up because we don't have as much audience targeting than we have before. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that definitely plays a role in it for sure. You know, like when you have less control and you're automating stuff, like machine learning is great. Artificial intelligence is great. You also have to know who is implementing this, right? It's the company that's making money off of it. So I think one of those things, like let's take Google's most recent, like fully automated type Performance Max.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put any keywords in there. You don't do anything. So when before you might not be bidding on your brand name, you might not be bidding on competitor's name. Maybe you've got a handshake agreement not to do that.
Right.
Now you don't get to say any of that. So you're bidding on your name. You're bidding other things up. There's very specific ways to put negative lists in, but it's not made for that. So what happens is you spend more and then you force different click costs to go up and then everybody's paying more. And then you get that 91% increase on leads.
Yeah.
So I think like there's positives to everything and there's also negatives. And it's really trying to figure out how to make those things work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't really wrangle your campaigns and try very hard to be efficient, they're set up, and I hate to say this, but to make them money. You look at these recommendations that they're pushing through and how to change your optimization score. And all the time you see like, raise your budgets, things like that. So like, I think without being too cynical, like the AI, the machine learning is great,
yep.
But also like you need to really have somebody wrangling that and watching it.
We're proud to have Site Strategics as a sponsor of Edge of the Web. We're pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Core specialties that we provide are technical SEO, including Core Web Vitals optimization, search engine marketing, social media marketing and management, focus on conversion rate optimization, truly focus on results-based marketing that works. We've also developed a unique omnichannel media marketing and content curation process that's guided by our weekly R&D. From our Edge of the Web interviews, we incorporate the best techniques for our content broadcast strategy and execution. If you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a call at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. Capitalizing on the Performance Max situation, now obviously it was happening, I think it was mid-year that Google was automatically upgrading smart shopping to Performance Max, right?
Yep, so it got upgraded and then there was a tool. There's still kind of a way you can do that, at least at the end of Q4,
right.
Where you didn't have to put a video in, but yeah, they got upgraded there.
So a number of other final, I mean, just to wrap up some of these headlines here, there was a lot of spam in Google local service ads as well. That was a big story actually in 2022. The revenue verification report that actually came through, that was interesting in its own right because Google was communicating to the owner of the account as well as the advertiser, making sure that the owner knew the amount of revenue that was actually being managed and spent through the engagement. And good for them in one way, because transparency is the key. But at the same time, that could be contentious if there were different agreements, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's something you got to keep your eye on. And then especially too, on the local side with Google Ads, you know, if you're trying to do any just what was purely kind of like a local ad before, mm-hmm. That's all now through Performance Max. So, you know, where you used to have a little bit more finer control, Google might be auto making videos for you. They might be, you know, showing up on terms that you didn't think before.
Yep.
You really see the goal of some of these things to try to make it like one click easy.
Yeah.
But one click easy is not like one click great for your budget.
No, it's not. And I'm coming in for a landing on this topic here. Another one, Google automatically switching advertisers attribution models as well. That was another tactic that was actually rolling out through Google Ads. So we're seeing a lot of these changes inside Google Ads, removing of certain type of bid types, the extended text ads gone, right? That happened in the end of last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they stopped. You had to do a bunch. I believe it was Q1 is when.
Okay, got it.
Everything had to be transitioned over.
So there was a lot of changes and a lot of lack of control. That's what you're really talking about here. So it's been a busy year, but there's been a lot of features that Google has been automatically setting for advisors. Now, I took note of your podcast back in December 5th, right? And you actually, this was just last week that you had this, but one of the my takeaways here was Shep was actually talking about, she was actually referencing someone who brought it into a thread that they were looking at a Google ad panel, right? The AdWords panel, and there was a big honking apply now button for increasing unlimited budgets. And the aesthetic, the dashboard, it looked almost like a learn more type of functionality here, right? Mm-hmm. And it was hovering over a lot of the control tools of the actual panel itself. Now, one thing is changing applications and being able to changing bid types and being able to give enough information to marketers to be able to steer towards the new techniques or the new automation. But if you are starting to put pieces of hiding certain functionality of your control with buttons that are positioned there to increase budget and potentially inadvertently, right, by possibly company owners that don't know the better, and they're just trying to click away a warning or a posting, and they don't know what they actually clicked, this is disingenuous. There's no reason, and on top of that, it wasn't giving any knowledge of what they were going to be increasing the budget to, right?
Yeah, and I think we've seen recommendations now moving out for more platforms as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned before, it's like, who's giving that recommendation? And,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times it's really frustrating because it's like, we have a budget. We have a set budget. that's what needs to be adhered to. You know, there's no more budget to be raised. Like, I don't know where you want this to come from. So I think also, like, some of the, if you look through a lot of these other recommendations, the thing that I think is disingenuous is there is no recommendation to say lower budget, right? Nope. There's only one way. So, like, how are you going to tell me that this is a, like, you're acting almost as a fiduciary? Because you're not. Right. There's not that pre-coded in there. I can see all the recommendations you can offer, you know? So I think it, in a way, like, calling recommendations. And then it also makes it really hard if you are, you know, in client services too. It's like, I can say you shouldn't be applying these things, or you shouldn't be listening to this advice that some rep gave you. But then the response is, oh, you're smarter than Google. Exactly. You should do this other. And it's tough because I get it. All these different folks that are reaching out, these reps, they need to make their own money, and they get money by putting people into programs.
Right.
Google's trying to get more money. But I just think it's really short-sighted overall. Like, because if you honestly, there was a great article over on Search Engine Journal. I can't remember who wrote it, but you can find it by saying, like, I applied all recommendations Google ads showed me. Here's what happened.
Oh, God.
And it was like something like, there were like promotions for a pet crematory, a pet, they would cremate pets or something like that. And there are all these inappropriate things that were coming up. And it's like, their recommendations, and there's not anything out there that really has your, in my opinion, your best interest in mind.
Maximize your clients' budgets using Wix. Use every dollar towards growth and revenue-driving assets by relying on Wix's enterprise-grade security and reliability. Work more efficiently using Wix's SEO automation and scalable SEO solutions to deliver sustainable results without vulnerabilities, downtime, and workflow inefficiencies for any website of any size. Fix less, grow more with Wix. Go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/Wix today to learn more. And they're moving past the advertiser relationship with the client. They're actually communicating more. Like we're talking about the verification of revenue communication, they're also moving these optimization recommendations to that owner's email as if they're actually on the account. And then you have that additional challenge of communicating with a client and saying, no, like you said, that's not a best practice here. And they got to be dislodged from the trust that of Google. Right, they're not fiduciarily responsible for the client. They're responsible for making more money for Google. That's the truth. And more, we're seeing these type of disingenuous efforts. It's pretty overt now and challenging. And we go back to a story. I mean, we actually talked to you. We tried to bring you on the show. Well, you couldn't make it, but we talked to Kirk as well as Sam, and we talked about the badge requirements, right? That the partner badge was actually going to be tied to how many recommendations that you actually accept from Google. And that was a huge flurry of challenges and insinuations of what in the world are you actually doing, that the badge itself that you proclaim is a vetting of advertisers is now contingent on how much money you actually spend per our recommendations. That's infuriating. And you lit up in that space. And there was a number of different efforts to be able to push back on that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was like probably the most sinister thing that I've seen out there, where you have all these partners and you're going to basically strip them of being a partner unless they literally like do their bidding for you,
right?
You know, pun intended there. And so we made a different badge of our own. And in order, anybody could get the badge, you just had to say you're not going to put any of your clients into any recommendation that wouldn't suit them. It took off. It actually got changed, the partner, all the credentials you had to do. I hope we had some part in that.
Absolutely.
But that was a very like evil genius thought to just be like, well, we've got all these partners, let's make them do whatever we want. So like, I'm glad that got changed. It's still, I get heated just thinking about it even today.
I know. And I realize I'm opening up a can of worms here, but we see those overt scenarios, but we also see in complementary fashion the lack of support from Google Ads. You cannot get them on the phone. We ourselves have had a devil of a time getting advanced verification through for one of our clients because they were not giving us the signals that we needed to have. So we were going through an arduous process. And there were a number of complexities in this particular case, but we were cleaning up and going through every nuance, even from a hyphen to a non-hyphened name, because they're rejecting it. They're not giving us any information of what should be improved or what are we missing, right? You can't get them on the phone. There's no customer support. You get a message that they're shut down because of COVID. This is one of the biggest companies on the planet.
I didn't see their stock price shut down during COVID. I saw it shoot up. That's what I'm wondering is happening. The thing went through the roof.
Absolutely. Use that on your podcast. No one has a brain at Google Ads. That's the thing is that we got shuffled around. I got shuffled around by so many agents trying to figure this thing out. And I would have to literally document the exact thing that we've gone through each and every time. It took us 6 months to navigate this. All the while, our client was spending money for 7 years with Google, and it just froze up. And there's where is their relationship to the advertiser? They're so far removed, you literally just have to play the game that they've set up, right? There's no other game in town.
Yeah, and Aaron, you did this thing where you're just like, a second ago, I feel like that's what everybody that uses Google Ads, whenever there's a problem, just runs into. And that's one reason why you would look for a partner who yep. may have better connections, things like that.
Right.
But you've seen pretty clearly that that is on a hierarchy of improvements to the platform, the service is definitely at the very bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, most of it is outsourced to companies that are not actually Google employees. You can kind of work your way through that.
Yep.
For the most part, if you, again, are not a partner, there's no phone support anymore. Nope. You can try to get calls coming your way, but the main phones is just shut off. Again, mm-hmm. if you're partners, premier partners, you've got a little different experience there.
Sure.
But I was going through something the other day and trying to just go the traditional route and be like, we had to set something up in a different currency. I'm going to try to just do it as if I were just a regular kind of person, just setting up, just starting Google Ads, ran into a trademark issue. And it was half of a day that it would have been to get through this by getting it fixed. And it's just nobody can help. Somebody's like, and I'm like, I need to, you just have to talk to Ray's manager. Like, I'll call you back. Nobody called. It's just a bunch of, it's just, they're so understaffed. And it's sad because it's like, these people are trying to help. They don't know what Google Ads is, half of them.
Right.
And then, you know, other people just, they don't have enough power, enough pull. So as much as they'd like to help you, they can't. And then they're just so understaffed. But to be fair, like Meta's not better. Like Facebook support stinks too.
God.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's really Microsoft is the best in class at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, they got to a point where they don't have to provide good support. Right. And I just hope at some point there's a competitor, it's Apple, it's somebody that can kick them in the butt and say, you know what? If people liked your product at all, at all, they'd spend more money on it and they'd be happy about it. But instead, it's like there's such a negative connotation and they think, hey, we can remove a couple of salaries of people that can help. And you know what? Our bottom line is going to go up. And they're not wrong about that.
No, they're not, because we are in the big tech world and there's borderline monopoly on these platforms. And they've created the environment, obviously, where we can actually reach our consumers. But it is excruciating. And you're absolutely right, is that Facebook is as bad. We were sitting on a number of different Facebook support agents, and literally, the agent we finally was able to speak with was actually replacing one of the agents that just left early, that actually replaced another agent that got moved to another department. And the agent that I was speaking to didn't have time to speak with me.
Yeah. And then it's all just too much. And then the thing that really irks me is you look at all these brands and you're like, look at Google. They've got their little small business Twitter handle out there talking about how much they love small business.
Yep.
And these poor small businesses have no idea about the amount of support that the Goliaths that they're going up against have. And it's like, you love small business so much, but you just cannot support it at all. And it's sad, but you kind of get it. That's where all the money is. I just, from front facing, everything looks so like peaches and cream, but it's all rotten behind the scenes.
It really is. It really is. And to that point is that the conversation I was having with that Facebook agent, he was literally complaining about Facebook while we were trying to reschedule another time. He was like, oh my God, this is a hot mess. He was literally saying that to me. It's like, oh. There's the veil right there. We're happy to have SE Ranking as a continued sponsor of our interview series podcast. One of the most important things for an SEO to focus on is the technical side of SEO. The website audit from SE Ranking provides expert-level audits and reports that are clear and concise, even for beginners. Any website can be checked against 130 SEO parameters, including Core Web Vitals, crawling up to 1,000 pages in just 2 minutes. The findings and included how to fix guides can be immediately turned into action items for your team or your clients. And a unique feature found only in SE Ranking is the Page Changes Monitor. This tracks any changes made to important elements of the web pages you or your competitors are optimizing. The website audit is just one of many tools and features worth exploring on SE Ranking. Get your 14-day free trial to try out the most user-friendly SEO platform available and used by over 600,000 people around the world. Visit edgeoftheweberadio.com/SE Ranking today to sign up. What can be done? I mean, and in your initiative that you did, that was a demonstration of the power of advertisers in this space. But what really can be done outside of new platforms opening up new advertising channels? Is there any way from an SEO standpoint, right? We have conversations with John Mueller. We have conversations with Danny Sullivan. There's a community there. There's certainly a community for PPC. Ginny Marvin, as a liaison, she's doing a great job out there communicating, but she's representing an arm of Google that their customer service is just terrible. There's just no support for you, the advertiser, and we're the representation of the clients out there. What can be done there?
You know, sadly, I think there's not a lot that can be done other than really taking like a holistic approach and making sure that you're diversified across everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're saying, and you should be doing this anyway, to be honest with you, but if you're saying, well, I'm not happy with the way that Google's doing this, go over to Microsoft, fight some of those battles you got over there.
Yeah.
But try some of these other elements too and see what works. Try Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, even if you don't like the way that Google Ads specifically is going, it's still technically within Google Ads, but try YouTube. You know, again, that's the same parent company, but I think the only real thing that's going to shake everything up is if somebody like a TikTok comes through and makes their platform so much better. And then try some of the new stuff. You know, just at the end of Q4 in 2022, Twitter came up with the ability to target for conversions.
Yep.
Right. Like there's not a lot of people flocking to Twitter ads right now. And if it fits your client's profile and everything like that, give it a test. Yeah, give it a test. So like keep working, keep trying new avenues.
Absolutely. And maybe this is the best scenario just to get off the mainstream platform and experiment, like you said, with Reddit, with Quora. Go into the different spaces and modify a campaign, you know, kind of breaking off of the experience that we've had over time, that this is mainstream, but our digital native is in a lot of different spaces, and having that well-articulated campaign can actually represent your brand in a whole other way because you're meeting them where they are, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, just because you're comfortable on one platform doesn't mean that like you should stop there. And then just because you're comfortable in one type of medium, right? Like maybe you've done horizontal video. As much as I hate consuming vertical video, there's a lot of people that consume it. So, you know, push your boundaries, try different things, test and experiment, see what works, and just reiterate.
Excellent. Yeah, by the way, there's a site called SiteJabber. It had 246 reviews of Google AdWords and 1-star service, 1-star value, 1-star shipping, 1-star quality. They couldn't.
Wow, it sounds like they got great service. I'd give them zero.
Well, let's wrap up here. I really appreciate getting down in the dirt here and talking. I mean, we have to have clarity for the advertisers listening to us. They have to be empowered to be able to move forth. And whenever these type of scenarios happen, we need to be able to push back en masse. And that's what you did with the badge effort that you did, as well as communication collectively to Google. I mean, you're a rallying point, and we do appreciate your perspective and your willingness to stick a neck out there as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if there's one message just to give people that are kind of feeling like down a little bit, just like everybody is in this scenario, there's no better time than now to actually figure out how all these platforms work and get the optimization aspect down on them. You know, so if you're out there, it still can work. You just need to experiment. You need to try new things. Get in there, treat everything like a petri dish, see what works, see what doesn't. It seems a little bit hopeless sometimes, but it's great. When you get things to work, it's awesome. And there still is a ton of opportunity for innovation.
See, he just wants everybody to be happy. You're an optimist. You continually are. So that's the best side, because I was really getting negative there, man.
Yeah, well, it's anytime something shuts, it shuts for everybody, and we just need to figure out what else we can open up.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's pivot around here. Make sure that you listen to the second part of the Greg Finn podcast by visiting edgeofthewebradio.com. Follow Greg Finn at Greg Finn, two N's, and follow us on Twitter at Edge Web Radio as well. Thanks to our sponsors. Make sure you go visit them, as that's why they're working with us, be able to reach you, our loyal listeners. Thanks so much for listening. Check out all the videos and what we're doing over on the YouTube channel as well. And hey, by the way, why don't you go over to ratethispodcast.com/edge today. If you like this podcast or others that we've done, we'd love to hear from you, because that's how we feed the algorithm inside of iTunes and the like. So with all of us over at Edge, stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.